Blog Talk Radio. The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Yeah, I can't get it, let's go, baby.
Yeah, you are now tuned in to the real Sean Ross Talk Show and Jam Session with Sean MacDaddy Ross, and yours truly, DJ Sir J Boogie. Let's go!
Sean Ross.
Hello, hello.
Sean Ross. Sean Ross from No Limit.
And you tuned in.
And you tuned in, Sean Ross, Ming team in the building.
Central State and Omega Sci-Fi stand up.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWRDB.
I know you heard the term, what happened in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now you can bring a part of Vegas home with you with a pair of lush shoes. Lift up your spirits, LUS. You can get them at www.alibeshoes.com/LUS-3.
Hey, we're live on the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session. I have DJ Sir J Boogie on the wheels and still in the building. What's up, DJ Sir J Boogie?
What's happening? What's up, everybody? What's up, Sean Ross?
Hey, we in the building, man. Hey, Jay Boogie, homie, before I bring our two guests, they're both on the line. Their lines are hot. We got to give them that intro one more time. I'm feeling it, y'all. We're going to have a good time, y'all. Let's go.
Yeah, you are now tuned in to the real Sean Ross Talk Show and Jam Session with Sean MacDaddy Ross. And yours truly, DJ Sir J Boogie. Let's go.
Sean Ross from No Limit. And you tuned in, Sean Ross, Ming team in the building.
Central State and Omega Sci-Fi stand up.
Hey, now I'm feeling it. I just had to warm up, baby. We had to warm up, DJ Sir J Boogie. Hey, we ain't going to waste no time. We got two special VIP guests that's documented in the building on the entertainment side. And with no further ado, hey, I want to give it up. Who you want to do first? Let me say, Lou Rawls Jr. is in the building. Mr. Lou Rawls, how you doing, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
All right. Blessing Holly Flavor. It is such an honor and pleasure to have you in the building with us. And also, at the same time, we have my man, we go back a while back, my man, Stan the Guitar Man is in the building. What's up, Sam? The great Sam. Stan, I am. That part.
What's good? How's it going?
All right. Well, we got a full-fledged show. And I'm so glad on the behalf of the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and all of our staff. We want to just thank you both for being a part of it. And, you know, we have a live audience that you'll hear from, too, from time to time, ask questions. And, again, you know, we just want to say thank you both.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And so we want to step on. So me and Jay Boogie are gonna ping pong. I'm gonna take Lou, and he's gonna take Stan because he said, man, I got some questions for Stan the guitar man. And then you know we're just gonna ping pong. So first question for Mr. Mm-hmm. Lou Rawls. I just got to ask you, how does it feel doing what you do? And first off, let me give you the notion and say thank you again. And now back to the question. How does it feel to be a legacy?
That's an interesting question. You know, I've been asked that before, and my answer is it's just, you know, creating my own path, man, my own way, and doing things in just in a respectful way to maintain the respect and the credibility that my father has created and laid before me, and just to do the right thing and uplift and help all the people that I can and, you know, commit to making the world a better place.
Okay. And in question, to a follow-up question to that, do you feel that sometimes you are challenged beyond the norm because people have a higher level of expectation from you?
Well, sometimes there is a public perception that, you know, you would think that things are going, you know, well, I would have things more than most, but, you know, actually I've worked, you know, my dad was very, he earned his own way and he believes in that. And so I've kind of had to do that myself. You know, there are some advantages to being the son of someone who has, you know, been in the industry and created the legacy, if you will. But there is an expectation at times, depending on what the situation is, that people do, you know, have an expectation, you know, a higher standard, if you will. And I try to maintain that and just try to do the best I can to keep the legacy going and keep the respect and credibility that he has created. You know,
okay.
It can be difficult at times, but that's life, and that's just the cards are dealt, and you just play them out.
Okay. So for our general audience and the people who are listening, can you tell our public what you've been up to, what are you working on, and some of your accolades? You know, I can go into a few, but I'd rather let them hear from you directly.
Well, I'm working on some film projects as well as some charitable organizations. I'm working with the Icon Awards, which is a tribute to Al Pacino and Martin Scorsese and Quincy Jones. We're also working with World Peace One, another charitable organization, producing some films, and I'm also redoing You'll Never Find, and I hope to drop that sometime this year.
Wow. That's crazy. That is so crazy. Wow, I like that. That still lives. It's still the jam. Still relevant. Always will be a lifetime favorite to many people. And I just want to say, man, that you come from a great lineage. I don't know why. I've been tongue twisting all day. But I can do a show. It seemed like Jay Boogie's like a tongue twister. My follow-up question, I'm going to let Jay Boogie. Go ahead, chime in, Jay Boogie.
I just want to tell Mr. Lou Ross Jr. that your father was my grandmother's favorite entertainer. And I actually got a chance to meet your father in 1987. I was flying out to L.A. For the holidays, and he was sitting up in the first class. I walked past, and I know him from, you know, my grandma's records and the telephone. So anyway, the stewardess came back and said, "Would you like to meet him?" And I said, "Yeah." He pulled out a picture and he signed it for my grandmother. My grandmother, and he wrote on there, "Hello, Dolly." Man, she framed that thing, and I'm just saying, bro, that made. I didn't have to buy no Christmas gift. Let me just say that. So. I really appreciate how kind he treated me, and it was great to meet him, and it was an honor just to talk to
you
right now.
He was very, very oriented to the public, man. He really appreciated the love and support that the people and the fans gave him. And, you know, he always felt that it was his duty to, you know, go out and meet and greet and give back in the ways that he possibly could, because it's you know, that's just part of it. And also I want to say I'm also doing this thing called the Sons of Soul. It's myself, David Ruffin Jr. His dad was David Ruffin of the Temptations, and Jackie Wilson's son, Bobby. And we're called the Sons of Soul.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, we're doing that as well. So.
Wow.
Can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
And also, I want to piggyback. My grandfather, the late Willie Tyus, when he came to Lou Rubber, what? I mean, I used to grow and I'm like, okay, granted, he's going to his favorite booth. He's going to his favorite booth, and he's going to his Sun Records when they had LPs, you know, the albums. It's a certain album collection that you cannot touch, or you get in trouble for moving him and my grandma. Boy, love Lou Rawls. So I want to thank you, because if it weren't for your daddy, my mama may not have been made. So I definitely want to say from the best. Let's go on the record. Let's go on the record for real. Wow. I mean, both of you and Mr. Stan, the guitar man, I mean, y'all done such a phenomenal thing. And before I switch over to Big Stan, I want to say to you, Mr. Lou Rawls, do you prefer the second or do you understand Junior? I'm honored to join Junior. Okay. I know that some people
be
real
versus like.
Okay, all right. There it is. So if someone was trying to get in contact with you about being a part of one of your foundations or being a part, how do they get in contact with you, sir?
World Peace One. .org, and my email is RawlsLou, @gmail.com, as well as Facebook,
okay,
Instagram,
right.
Snapchat, you know, all the social media platforms as well.
All right. Well, it's been an honor, and I want to welcome you. Hey, we're not finished with you yet, so we hope that you can still, you know, stay on with us. We have to pay these bills, and then we're going to come on and get on with Stan, and we just got to do what we have to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me do it like this one time. Hold tight, everybody.
Joyful Expressions Paint and Taste Studio is a fun place to celebrate any occasion. We provide every guest with an apron, easel, canvas, brush, paint, and an instructor to guide you step-by-step through the creation of your masterpiece. Come on time so that you can pick a good seat and order your drink. Joyful Expressions now has Taco Tuesday, a margarita wine and two tacos with chips and salsa. Thirsty Thursday with wine and snacks. Friday fun night and Saturday brunch with two wings, a Belgian waffle, and bottomless mimosas. Reserve your seat today at joyfulexpressions.gallery. Prices start at only $24. Joyful Expressions is located at 14800 Southwestern Avenue, number 104 in the city of Gardena, 310-692-6999. That's 310-692-6999. It's your time to shine and get your paint and party on. It's lit! Joyfulexpression.gallery. Also, check out the Facebook page.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
Hey, welcome back, y'all. Y'all are listening live to the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session with DJ Serge A. Boogie. And right I am honored. We have Lou Rawls Jr. in the building, and we have Stan the Guitar Man. What's up, Stan? Hey.
Stan, hello. How's it going? Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
All right. Now,
how's everybody?
Hey, Sam.
What's up now?
Oh, we good to have you. Thank you for joining the show. So we're going to cut right into you. I looked at your resume. You've worked with a lot of people that I know and love and had the pleasure of knowing. But you know, Eazy-E, LL Cool J, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube. I mean, the list goes on and on. So what made you pick up the guitar? What made you pick up the guitar? Tell America.
I really don't know. It was just something that was in me. You know what I mean? Just a love for, you know. I always loved playing, you know, the shape of the guitar and just what it was. And so I started out playing the broom, walking around the house. And then my parents bought me a guitar. And from there, you know, this. Nobody, my dad didn't play music, my mom didn't play music. I had cousins that played music, but nobody directly, you know, like my mom or dad or nothing like that. So it was just a blessing from God that he wanted me to play guitar, and And I thank you for that.
Wow.
You're a bad man, too.
And I'm going to let Jay, he had a series of questions. I'm going to let him get into you right now, then I'm going to follow right behind him. Jay Boogie, you got him. We got him in the building. He's all yours.
Hey, I want to first say it's an honor to be talking to you. I grew up, of course, on NWA. I always heard that name and read the name on the credits, Dan the Guitar Man.
Right.
So you worked closely with Dre, correct, back in those days. But you knew Lonzo first, am I correct?
Yeah. So Dr. Dre grew up down the street from me with his grandmother in Compton.
Okay.
But how I met Dre was through Lonzo. Lonzo, father used to have a lawn service. They did, landscaping. And every Saturday, me and my brother would go outside and talk to Lonzo, because Lonzo would be, him and his brother would be helping his dad, cut the grass and stuff like that. So, just talking, and Lonzo said, he mentioned he going to open up a club around the corner from the house. And he said he got some DJs. He got Dr. Dre and DJ Yella, and a couple other DJs. So it started from there, the meet and greet. So I've been knowing Lonzo before he started the club. And that's how I met Dre and everybody.
His club wasn't Tudos, was it?
No, Eve After Dark. Eve After Dark on Avalon and El Chicano.
Okay. All right. And you also worked with the DOC. Actually, his only album before the actual accident happened. Can you tell me a little bit
correct.
About that?
Well, I was working with Dre now.
Uh-huh.
Doing an EZ album and NWA and Mr. Lay and JJ Fad signed DOC from Texas. So, seeing that DOC was a nice guy, man, from Texas, and he had an accent, and they used to tease me about his accent. So, they worked on kind of breaking his accent, get from the Texas slang to the more West Coast or whatever. I met him during that time. When he was working on his album, and that's one of the greatest albums of all time, and I had the pleasure to work on that. And I definitely he wanted me to work on his whole album, because at that time I was, leaving, working with NWA. I was moving on, but he told me to stick around and help him work on his album. So that's how that came about.
Okay.
And, but it was definitely a pleasure, man, and I was blessed to be able to, play on his whole album,
Okay, man, I want before Sean cut me off or something, I got to ask, how did you and Quick hook up? You and DJ Quick?
Quick, him and Greedy Greg came to my house one day.
Okay.
I knew Greedy Greg, so they came to my house in the van one day and asked me if they wanted, if I could play up. Work on Quick's album. From working on the NWA stuff, everybody, just started calling me because NWA, it blew up and all the other groups
mm-hmm.
over there. So I'd get, phone calls from everybody. So I never had to solicit people to work with them. I just, everybody would just reach out to me and ask me what I work on their project. And it just started from there, from Quick to Tupac to, like you said, LL Cool J and everybody on the West Coast, Dub C, and it's Yo-Yo, just everybody,
Okay.
Wow, that's
you
that's
also work
incredible.
With Jones, correct?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You said you work with Quincy Jones as well, correct?
Yeah, I worked on Quick's album, the first one. Pretty much played
okay.
on all the songs except one. And I did
okay.
Rhythmalism also. I played and co-wrote on Rhythmalism.
Okay.
And I did all the Ice Cube's album except the first one. And I co-wrote the single Wicked on the Predator album. And
That was Torture Chamber, right?
Torture Chamber, yes. I was with Torture Chamber, yes.
Okay, cool. All right.
Man. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Man.
Your body of work is incredible. body work, both of you gentlemen rock is very incredible. But now I got something, you know, that we like to do, me and Sir J Boogie, on the Real Sean Ross Show. We like to play this record, and I want both of you gentlemen just to think about it. And it's going to take you back down memory lane. We're going to take you back. I want y'all to listen to this record, and then I'm going to come back and ask both of y'all, what does this record mean to both of y'all, and can you express about some of the things that y'all used to do during this time period, you know, where we have feel-good music. So with no further ado, I want y'all to go back down. I'm just going to play part of it. Might give y'all a little bit of all of it, but yeah, here we go. One time, y'all. Y'all know I am. Back to the old school, y'all. I have Mr. Lou Rawls Jr. In the building along with Stan the Guitar Man, and we're doing it like this, y'all, on the Real Live Sean Ross Show with DJ Sir J Boogie.
Here I go again. The way you help me.
Hey, we're back. Woo-wee! So I got to ask Lou Rawls Jr., sir, can you tell me, what does that song mean to you, and what were you doing around that time that song was out?
Well, I was actually quite young, but I do remember Minnie Riperton. She was an amazing artist, and she was definitely taken too soon. And just I just remember her vocal range, you know, incredible. And I don't think there's anybody who's even been close to even being able to come to hit the notes that she hits. I just, you know, she was incredible. Just an incredible artist. Take it too soon.
Do you remember any okay, what were you two gentlemen doing around that time? What was going on in America that was socially known or acceptable? Like, were you playing Jags? Were you playing Monopoly? Sorry. I remember eating Cracker Jacks when that was good, riding a skateboard, playing chess, checkers. You know, tell me.
Yeah, it was definitely this, you know, the era of skateboarding and, you know, dirtbag riding. You know, for me, and you know, that was actually my dad was actually was at one of his career peaks at that time. Actually, you know, You'll Never Find was coming out, and, you know, so it was a really good time in my life, actually, for me.
Wow, I thought I'd bring some back some good memories. All right, Stan, the guitar man. What do you remember mostly about that era? What were you doing?
Man, I had a band. We had a local band. We had a female singer. So, of course, we had to play some Minnie and other different, you know, female artists. So that was definitely a good time in high school and, you know, great artist and never be another Minnie, you know.
All right. Hey, well, that's what's going on.
How did you get your name, Stan the Guitar Man?
That's a good question. You know, most people don't ask that. Well, I started playing with NWA. My name was Stan Jones or Stanley Jones. So Dr. Dre looked at me like, he's like, man, that's whack. You need a name. Your name is Stan.
Wow.
Your name is Stan the Guitar Man.
Wow.
And that's how I got my name.
Wow.
Dr. Dre gave me that name.
Okay.
Because if you think of all the artists back then, yeah, the artists back then, you know, especially being around rappers, you got to have a name. You can't go by your legal name. You know what I mean? You can't just be, yeah, I'm Stan Jones, the rapper. And then, you know what I mean? But so Dr. Dre gave me that name because I didn't have a name. And name is stuck with me forever. You know what I mean? Thank you for that one.
That's
what
dope.
A genius, man. He's a genius person, artist, producer. You know what I mean? Very talented, though.
Wow.
So
let me ask both of you this. Who's your favorite sports team?
Anyone.
Football. Let's go football first. What's your favorite NFL football team?
Well, seeing that I was with NWA, it would have to be the Raiders. Because that's all they were.
All black.
And then,
okay.
Black and gray. You know,
black
and silver.
And silver.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, I share that. Okay, Mr. Lou Rawls Jr., what's your favorite NFL team, sir?
Back at that time, it was the 49ers. My dad was doing the national anthem for them, and every time he did the national anthem for them, they were undefeated. So I definitely say from the AFC, the Raiders, and the NFC, the 49ers at that time.
I love it. I love it. One of my favorite teams, Oakland Raiders. Then I have to give the Midwest some love, Cincinnati Bengals. But I've been broken hearted. They didn't make me so broken hearted. My heart is, I'm a free agent now, but I'm going to Vegas with the Raiders, so I'm back on that silver and black. How about you, Sir J Boogie?
Gotta have that silver and black.
I just like wearing the Raiders gear, man.
I think it's Old Town favorite. That part.
L.A. Raiders, Jim Plunkett.
I like Kenny Stabler. That was
Bo
my
Jackson.
Quarterback. Bo Jackson was a yes. I hate that he hit that Cincinnati Bengals gave him that hit pointer. He'll still be playing. All right, now I'm going to go to NBA. Who's favorite?
Who's the favorite NBA team?
Lakers.
Lakers?
Lake Show?
Lakers.
West Coast.
Yeah, right.
So it's for the Lakers?
Yes, sir.
Is they booking you a Laker? For the Lakers. All right, yo.
You already know.
We got something special for you, gentlemen. We got something special for you, gentlemen, DJ Sir J Boogie put together, and I'm going to drop it like this, y'all. Hold tight. Here we go. And you tune on the real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jams. That's from DJ Sir J Boogie coming all the way to you live from Houston, Texas,
uh-huh.
And I am in Mount Vernon, New York today in the studio, Alpha Sound Studios. Mount Vernon, they in the building, y'all.
Non-stop Boogie.
Sergey Boogie,
the Blend King.
Brent is a villain, and you're just a hostage. So whenever I'm stepping, cover your head like an ostrich. Groupies been waiting for this, suckers been hating for this. You know why? Cause so many are relating to this. Jealous is how they're feeling intentionally, but then start to love it because I made it eventually. Pumping the music, I keep the music like pumping, cause Brent ain't in it for nothing. I keep the average crowd jumping. Yo, you know the color, the villains in black. Always down, I make noise and attack. So you better get back, unless you wanna come with it. And make your face like a target and close your eyes when I hit it. You're screaming with fear, but it's with fear that you're screaming. You're waking up in a sweat, cause Ren is giving bad dreams. And I'm not scheming, I'm just telling the facts. That's how it is when a WA starts to jack.
The real Sean Ross Talk Show.
Sergey Boogie, this mix is
ruthless. We make you say it again.
Damn.
NWA's messing up the program, and then you realize say no, we're too busy saying yeah. About drinking straight out the 8 bottle. Tell the truth, do I look like a role model to a kid looking up to me? Life ain't nothing but girls and money. Cause this is radio station K-E-Z-E. Hi, this is Greg Mack, Mack Attack. And we're gonna go to the phones right now and find out what's going on. Hi, who is this?
Yo, what's up? This is Lorenzo Patterson.
Yo, man, where you calling from?
I'm calling from Compton and I wanna hear EZE's new record.
What's it called, man?
Yo, it's called Radio.
You got it, you call the right station, and here it is.
EZE, rocking nonstop on the radio with the funky fresh hip hop and stereo. Releasing rhymes that you would find demanding. We're trading beats that are so outstanding. I'm getting busy, if you know what I mean. Always setting me a mark in the hip hop scene. On the radio, the greatest of all time. Like Muhammad Ali, cause I punch rhyme. So tune your station and clear all the static. And tell the truth, you didn't know that I had it in me to be easy about the situation. So just kick it and listen to the station playing my music. It's hard to lose it, it's constantly on request cause you choose it. I'm Easy E, my rap is strong.
And your radio, that's where my record on. You wanna know why? Because I'm on the radio.
Yo, this is MC Red, can you comprehend with a bite just like 10-10? Yo, what's the time?
Hi, my name is Tushin, I'd like to know when your 12-inch record is coming out.
Yo, it'll be out real soon, so just keep looking at your local record store.
Yo, can I speak to Dre?
Yo, what's up, this is Dre.
Hey, Dre, this is Stan, remember me?
Yeah, man, I remember you, what's up, homeboy?
Yeah, man, I play guitar on this record, I wanna know when I can get paid, motherfucker.
You got gang. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up? This is Nasty Nev calling from Seattle.
Hey, what's happening, homeboy?
I'm calling to be on Easy Izu Records Radio.
Man, you're late. The record is already over.
There's my Spanish-speaking friends would say, adios, sucker.
Wow,
Hey, I want to ask you guys a question. What you guys know about NWA and Eazy-E?
I know a little bit. What's up?
I'll let you know, Sir J. Biggie.
Yeah. What were you guys? Were you guys? Were you DJing in? What were you guys doing? Not to be questioning you, but just a question.
Well, that time, when it came to dealing with NWA, we were both probably, I was at Central State University during that time, and coming back from East Coast and West Coast. Yeah, we both in early college.
My mom moved to LA in 87, so that's how I got introduced, coming from Ohio, I got introduced.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But Barry, I'll tell you, man, Barry, when we were doing those records, man, it was not an atmosphere of this is about to go platinum or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We were just doing a record pretty much for the neighborhood. And that's why it had cussing on it. And that's why he mentioned in the record. You probably won't get played because it got cussing on it. But it never could we imagine that it would go to the level it did.
It seemed like a fun atmosphere to me.
Hey, it was a bunch of fun. It wasn't, they're not gangbangers, but a lot of fun and cracking jokes. And that's what Easy was a jokester. Man, we just playing jokes and bagging on each other, just having fun, you know? It was not, and no pressure, or anything like that. That's why you hear the fun in the records. And that's what's missing with records today. It's no fun, there's no humor in it. Back then, you listen to the records, they have sense of humor, you know what I'm saying? They make fun of everything, themselves and the public and everybody, you know what I mean? The police, whatever. Yeah. So that's what's missing from the records now. If everybody's serious, like they serious 24 hours a day, nobody's serious 24 hours a day. And
Right.
That's not even keeping it real. I'm sorry.
I have two questions to ask you, gentlemen. Okay, one, I'm saying you might. Let me ask you this question. Why, from the music when Lou Rawls Sr. was making music, so even when you jumped over to NWA, Songs of NWA, where do you think we missed out as a people, as on the gap? Where did music start to evolve and to where it's at today? Where you look at them like, oh, that's not music. What, did we go something wrong? Or did, I mean, can y'all chime in on that for me?
Music is an expression of, you know, where society's at as a whole, I think, you know, in some ways. And, it's just, you know, music is a, like I said, it's an evolution. It's kind of like a cycle. It goes through different cycles. And, you know, I think today it's certainly not like it was back then. You know, back then they used real musicians and, you know, there wasn't a lot of sampling and a lot of, electronic aspects of it, if you will. But, music is a, you know, it's just evolved to this place. I mean, you know, there's certainly different aspects of music that, you know, some people have issues with per se, but I, you know, me personally, I just think that, you know, it's a form of expression and a creative outlet. And that's just kind of how it's evolved to this place.
Yeah. And if you remember back then, people thought rap was just a fad anyway, like it wasn't going to last anyway, you know? So people didn't take it seriously,
right.
You know what I mean? So for it to evolve and last this long and have all races and cultures, you know, and expressing themselves through rap is, beyond belief. So you never know.
Okay.
With music being taken out of the schools.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to learn an instrument.
Right. See, when I went to school, it was a music program in there. So
okay.
That's what made me start a nonprofit to teach kids how to play music because I grew up with it. And we had an option to learn how to play an instrument, you know, other than just hanging out in the streets. And that's why my dad bought us, you know, instruments and, equipment and all that kind of stuff to keep us out of the streets. But that's what I wanted to do anyway, but that was just a blessing. But nowadays, you know, inner city kids don't have that option. So it's either, you know, gang banging or be a sports player. And so you hit the right. And it's a deterrent, you know, for jail and prison too. So that's a really big part because every child that's born loves music, whether they play it or not, you know what I mean? And especially, you know, the black children, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need,
okay.
And that's what's missing.
Wow. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both, but we also have a special guest. She handles our commentary. Miss Tiffany Menard is in the building. Welcome to Tiffany Menard. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine and Danny. Glad to welcome aboard. And you know who we have. And she always have a question. So, gentlemen, be prepared. Here comes Miss Tiffany Menard.
Thanks. I would like to know, what is a memorable moment that you guys have working in the music industry?
Oh, wow. That's I've got several. Obviously, one, you know, when my dad was in Las Vegas and he broke Elvis's consecutive sellout record at the Hilton, that was a big moment for us as well. And my dad had several defining moments in his career, if you will. You know, early on he had Dead End Street and Tobacco Road, and going back to the rap thing, my dad was one of the first people to talk over his records, you know, on his intros. And so he's kind of been called the godfather of rap, if you will, you know. So.
Oh, wow.
Hey, if you don't mind me chiming in, Lou Rose Jr., correct?
Yes.
Okay, I met your dad back in the mid-80s. We had a group called Finesse, and it was K-Ace had a contest where you send in your music and they pick your music out of, 100 or 1,000 bands and stuff like that. And long story short, we won the K-Ace Budweiser Showdown, and your dad was the host with Jane Kennedy. And we got by our grandfather $10,000.
Oh,
yeah. We did we got the prize of $10,000 in musical equipment and a single on Mercury Records. And when we did the final Budweiser Showdown, your dad was there. We met him. We did a Budweiser commercial. So I mean, your dad was, man, such a true gentleman and a very talented man. And we grew up on his music, and it'd never be, you know, nothing like that again. And I just wanted to say that while he was on the phone, I almost forgot. But yeah, I met your dad, and a great person, man. And I look forward to meeting you one day.
Thank you very much, sir. I as well look forward to meeting you as well, man. You played on some big hits, and you yourself have, you know, laid a foundation and a legacy to uphold, and I greatly appreciate your work as well. Thank you.
Definitely.
No, gentlemen, I'm about to cheer you up. This is something special. This is what we do on the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Sessions. We connect the dots and bring people from back then to now and in the middle and all between. And I, you know, I'm just elated, gentlemen. We're not finished with y'all yet. And I know Tiffany has one more. I told her she had to relinquish her only two questions. So, Tiffany, you can go ahead with your second question. The beautiful Tiffany Menard.
Hi, Tiffany.
Tiffany, are you here? You live? Were you still here? Did I lose you?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, you can hear me now. Yes.
Okay. Who would you say had the most influence on you?
Good question.
I was a big Marvin Gaye fan. You know, he obviously, him and my dad were, you know, unbeknownst to me, I was in a band with Marvin Gaye's son. We got signed to Capitol, but unfortunately they ended up dissolving the entire Black Division, so we never got a chance to put that record out.
Wow.
Marvin and Sam Cooke was my godfather, so he obviously had
a
big influence as well on me personally. So.
Wow. Thank you.
Legacy.
So, gentlemen, you know, again, our hour is almost up, but we want y'all to still hang in there to the end. But before I let y'all go, I got something else I want y'all to hear. Listen to that my man, Sir J. Duke, put together for you both. But I want to make sure, starting with you, Mr. LaRose Jr., how can people contact you via social media? Can you just tag yourself for us? You got a contact number for any business that you have going on, and how people can find you on the line, internet, please.
Yeah, you can reach me at all forms of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Lou Rawls Jr. Numbers 310-460-9685. And my email is rawlslou1@gmail.com.
All righty, and Mr. Stanley Guitar Man, your turn.
Okay, yeah, well, definitely on Facebook, you can hit me at Stan Jones on Facebook or Guitar Man Enterprises. On Twitter, it's Stan the Guitar Man. And my email is G as in George, MEWorld9@gmail.com. That's GMEWorld9@gmail.com. And 818-849-4686. So I'm open to definitely.
All right,
if you want any other
I need you on the track.
Oh, hit me up. Hit me up, for sure.
All right, for sure.
Let's make it happen.
We're not finished with y'all, gentlemen, yet. Oh, no. Because Jay Boogie said, you know what? We got to let y'all hear this second power mix dedicated to both of you gentlemen. Here we go.
Non-stop Boogie.
Hey, yo, Stan. Dre laid the tracks. I'm laying the vocals. We need some guitar that rocks. You know what I'm saying? So, let's do this.
Extraordinary,
I love too much to carry. Possessed by a demon on a mission. No man alive could refuse a proposition from this fantasy. But to me, she was more than a bad dream. She was a nightmare for man. Took a sex appeal and she taunted. Twisted the brother till they did just what she wanted. Disregard the laws of the other man. Sacrificing the plight of the brother man. I'm not the type to let a woman make me weary. But to resist, he'd have to be a fairy. Fairy that a brother wouldn't want to indulge in. Drives a Porsche and a purse is bulging. A body in the form of a romantic medley. But be warned, she's beautiful but deadly.
John Ross Talk Show.
Non-stop boogie.
Boogie.
Check this out. We've come to the last and final record. This is Dr. Dre in full effect, and we're going to kick it off a little something like this. We got my mellow yellow boy on the drum. We got Stan the guitar man dropping the rhythm.
It's the homeboy Eazy-E,
Ice Cube,
MC Ren,
DJ Yella,
and these are all the homies from the gang in WA, you know what I'm saying?
L.A. Dre,
Stan the guitar man,
Jonathan,
Michelle A,
DJ Speed,
my homeboys Yomo and Marky,
the super dope manager Jerry Heller, and of course the rest of the Ruthless and Comptown posse.
Word them up!
There's my Spanish-speaking friends would say, adios, sucker.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guests' views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Stand the man.
Man, I appreciate that little collage you did there, brother. I mean, I don't listen to those records every day, but it's impressive to hear that, you know. I'm glad you guys appreciate the music, you know.
Yes, Appreciate that.
So can both of you, before we get out of here, if you wanted to give a sentence to somebody about being involved in the entertainment business, what advice would you give them?
This is Stan. I say get you an attorney immediately. Yeah, don't sign no paperwork. Yeah, don't sign no paperwork without an attorney looking at it. And that was part of the, you know, the dilemma, you know, NWA and Ice Cube and all those people went through. Jerry Heller didn't want him to get no attorney look at it. So that's how those things, you know, transpired. And if you saw from the movie, that's what that's why Ice Cube left the group. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd say it's called show business for a reason. You definitely want to learn the business aspect of the industry, and that way, you know, you can, you know, avoid some of the pitfalls and some of the issues and problems that, you know, artists in the past have gone through. It's, like I said, it's called business for a reason. So, you know, become as knowledgeable as you can about the business, because it's, you know, that way you know, do your best you can to keep from bad things happening.
Brother Wall,
the best advice I can give.
Brother Wall,
yes,
you
sir.
Voiceover.
I'm sorry.
You say voiceover?
Voiceover.
Yeah, I'd love to do some. You know, I love a whole aspect of the business. So, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Keep that legacy alive. Keep that legacy alive. You got that voice. It's like your dad. I mean, man, you're going to have to do a drop for the station. We're going to have to
get
in touch with both of y'all for definitely doing some drops for the station. We have a lot going on. We definitely want to continue to keep the vibration going, keep the vibe in the building. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. And another big question I didn't get a chance to ask, one y'all to chime in on. We got less than 2 minutes. But what advice or words of upliftment for the Nipsey Hussle family?
Yeah, my condolences definitely go out to the family. It was a tragedy. He was a great man and doing great things for the community at large. And just another artist taken too soon by some ridiculous violence. It was a, you know, tragic, tragic event.
Yeah.
Stan?
I'm sorry.
I was letting you say a word into a reference to the upliftment of the Nipsey Hussle. Surely words to the family, would you like to say? In words to the family?
Man, God bless Nipsey Hussle, Nipsey's family. And, man, it's tragic. The young talent and very talented brother and very wise and educated. And, you know, I definitely pray for the family, man, and everybody that loves Nipsey Hussle.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much for tuning to the Real Sean Ross Live Radio Talk Show and Jam Session with DJ Sir J Boogie. Love you both. We are on our way out of here. Thank everybody for listening. J Boogie, you got something you want to tell them real quick? See, they tell them that I got the red light. It's on. It's turning.
I just want to say, on behalf of Nipsey, that the marathon continues. Y'all continue to be a positive light in your families, your communities, and all over the world. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Hustle and motivate.
Right, we out
of
here. Thank you,
gentlemen. Yes, you are now tuning in to the real Sean Ross Talk Show and Jam Session with Sean MacDaddy Ross. And yours truly, DJ Sir J Boogie. Let's go.
Sean Ross to no limit. And you too deep. Sean Ross. And you too did. Mean team in the building.
Central State and Omega Sci-Fi stand up.
J Boogie.
Yo.
Good job, dog team. Again, that's what everybody calling me. Mr. Short calling me. All right, I hit you back. All right,
dog team.
Hello.